What a meal, Margaret. August, do you clear? Can you hear me all right?
Oh, yeah.
Fearful.
Anava, speaking of Clagranach, I really enjoyed all those poems. They're fantastic. And I'm here in the library. I got a quiet room, or so I thought. There's been a few loud bangs. Apparently they're working on the roof, so there might be a bit of Clagranach while I speak to you this evening. If there is, I apologize, but hopefully they'll stay nice and quiet above. It's more in an ordem a bheith léamh ag ó bhéal anocht den chiaadúid agus tá mal bheith ar fad díobh go léir as sucht an chuide agus na fáilte i rúil sa chu róm agus buíoch scoáilthe le Paul a chuid gach cóidirm agus tá mal bheith tíos a fóil. Agus is mór an ordem leis a bheith léamh a thánsa anocht a dríine agus is trúlam nach le mánach an bóla leat agus líbse go léir ach big úr eile ann leúnmh dé agus go go bil ná go múla míid tír i gcur go bhíine lá éige de dríine tá súlagam. As we were saying there, I'm in the US at the moment. I'm not actually in Montana. I've just finished my 9 months teaching Irish there at the University of Montana. I had my last class on Thursday, and I'm here in Seattle. I'll be traveling for a few weeks on my way back to Ireland. But why did I go to Montana? I suppose when I told friends and family that I was going to the University of Montana in Missoula to teach Irish, they kind of had two questions for me. The first one, where is that exactly? And the second question was, why? And what they didn't know, and what I didn't know, and was soon to learn, was that Montana, big massive state in the northwest of the US, half in the Rockies, half in the Great Plains, actually has a long-standing kind of Irish American community with a kind of a proud and colorful and interesting history. The first governor of the first kind of acting governor of the from Waterford and exiled to Tasmania after leading a failed rebellion in 1848. He escaped from Tasmania and went to the States and fought in the Civil War in the US as a Union general and was a kind of a war hero, and then was sent to Montana, and he died there in suspicious circumstances in 1867. And Montana became a state then in 1889, and shortly after that, there was a big influx of migrant workers who went to work in the booming mining industry. It was mainly copper. Most of the world's copper came from Butte, which still to this day has a massive Irish-American community and a very good and lively St. Patrick's Day, which I can attest to personally. There was a big car connection as well, because a lot of people went from Beira. Including Irish speakers, went from Beira to Butte, Montana. And today then, the University of Montana has a well-established and well-renowned Irish studies program where I was teaching Irish under the supervision of Dr. Treilich O'Riordan, the director of the Irish studies program there. And I'd like to especially mention Treilich. He's a proud Carconian from By the Loch and a graduate of UCC. And when he was completing his studies, Cushlee, he worked, among other places, at the Long Valley Bar. And when I told him that I'd be reading at this event, he was full of fond memories and funny stories about Humphrey and Rita Moynihan and his time in the Long Valley. So I just like to mention him especially. But enough talking anyway, I suppose this time I better read a poem. And I thought I might start off with a poem tonight, the only poem I've written since I came over. So it hasn't been a very productive year for poetry, but I like to think that I was collecting ideas and getting inspiration. And I suppose fittingly enough, maybe the poem that I'm about to read is kind of about ice and melting and mountains. I say fitting because I was living quite near Glacier National Park, which I visited. It's a very cool place to visit if you ever get the chance. The name of the poem is Sliabh Ag Caoine, or A Mountain Keening. And it's a poem, I suppose, about about change and losing things and losing people. And I suppose when things leave or go away, they're not there anymore, obviously, but they are in a way, because they often leave a mark, and often leave quite a big mark. I think of a glacier advancing through a landscape and how it carves out valleys, or even when the glacier melts, how the meltwater is, you know, throw boulders all over the place and carve out rivers and stuff like that. So I'll read the poem in Irish, right? But I just maybe like to point out a few phrases in it. I don't have English translations of my poems, but I just, as I say, I'll just point out a few points in it and kind of give you the story of the poem. At the start, I use a couple of phrases. Smearvullig is it's kind of like the cherry on top. The word mullig or malach, meaning top or the top of a hill. So bright smear yalvolig is at the start of the poem. That's a kind of a bright cherry on top. Catheen Bone then is like a white cap, and that would be at the top of a hill. If a hill or a mountain was covered in snow, you'd say it might have a Catheen Bone, a white cap. Other phrases, Lá na Seach Síon is in there as well, a stormy day, the day of seven storms. That's in it. And the phrase then, I suppose the other phrase I should mention is Laita Anuas. Laita being the word melted, Laita Anuas, melted down on someone. Obviously snow melts and ice melts and stuff like that, but that phrase as well, it's kind of an idiom, which means if you're mad about someone, I suppose, you'd be Laita Anuas Eran Lunison. So that's the poem anyway. And I'll read it for you. Sliabh ag cuine. Ma smear gealvolig, ma chapín bán. Ma vrat ro lónrach, ma vionán án. Ma chara tríd na seach sian. A chánig lá an ghrian dréir an rachta. An lá a chánig coscart úd an tnachta. An lá a dog thu, Laita an uasarum, onum, trium, quid diem the reaniche enish agus festa. Gorbíle Mahagos, my next poem is called Dian Áirv. Census, and I'm sure a lot of you filled out the census last year. I believe we're getting the results of it at the end of the month, the full results. And the new feature this year, of course, was the Teshgadon Tauhí, or the time capsule, which I think we'll all agree was a brilliant addition to the census. I thought it was anyway. And it turned out that I was the one who was filling out the census in my household. My dad and my sister were on holidays. And I kind of like the whole census. I find the whole thing very solemn anyway, filling in the census. And so I was thinking about for a long time about what I put into the box. And I came up with this poem. I wrote this poem, I composed it, and I wrote it into the time capsule space in the census. And it's basically, it's me, and I count who's there and who's not there. And as I said, my dad and my sister Clodagh were away, my brother and sister Sarah were at home, but who wasn't there was my mum, who'd passed away the year before. And I suppose it's those everyday things often that kind of remind us of the people we've lost, and I suppose the census then kind of, I suppose, reminded me of my mum. The poem kind of plays off the word áirv, which is in the word census, Dian Áirv. It's a compound word, Dian being sort of human or human being, and Áirv then counting or enumeration. And there's a couple of phrases, you know, with that word Áirv, counting. You know, if someone is son Áirv, they're in the count or they're included. If they're asan Áirv, they are excluded or out of the count, not included. Another phrase then that I use in the poem, ní lena Áirv air, there's no counting or something is incalculable. And then lastly, the áirithe, which is something that can't be counted, incapable of being counted. So I suppose I'm playing on that word all the way down through. And the fact that we couldn't count mum because she wasn't there. And then I suppose that, in a way, I kind of say in the poem that she could never be counted because of all her qualities. And that's kind of, that's the essence of the poem, really. So I'll read the poem for you now. It's Déan Áireamh. Mise fear an tí an ocht is fúmsa an táireamh. Tá maithid agus clóda siúde thar sáile. Táimse agus éire is pál an sa a láthid ag a baile. Cúigar an líontaí ó cailleach ceitlín ar máthid. As láthid, as an áireamh. Í siúd nach raibh é an áireamh riamhirse. Í chó tréthach chó tláisin, chó hilgnéthach chó gráver. Chó déana chó máthra. Í siúd a bhí riamh is atá anocht do áirithe. I should mention I got a bit of a slagging after for that poem because I called myself Farron T, the man of the house. they thought I was taking liberties, especially because my older brother Paul was in the house. You know, so it was really he was the man of the house that night, but he wasn't bothered to fill in the census form. So I took the poetic license there. Next poem I'm going to read is a poem that's a Cork poem in my head anyway. And it's set in Cork anyway, and it's called An Chathair Riamháin, which is the Irish for a maze, and made up of the word Cathair and Riamháin, and Cathair meaning city. Cathair, I love the word Cathair in the Irish language. I love the sound of it. Originally meant like a circular stone fort or something like that. There's a great one down near Cathair Savine over the water. Great example of a Cathair. And a city then in the modern meaning, I suppose, a collection of stone buildings, I suppose. And then An Chathair Riamháin, a maze. And the poem, I suppose, it was written after the end of a short relationship. And the particular fella in question, I met him in Cork and was living in Cork that summer. And then the whole thing ended with the end of the summer, and I went home and lived at home because it was during COVID, actually. And then the next time I came back up to Cork, he was very much on my mind, and I kept kind of thinking I was going to meet him. So kind of walking around the streets of Cork on edge a small bit. And feeling, I suppose, maybe like that I couldn't kind of get over the whole thing, and feeling trapped a small bit in a maze. So it kind of the streets of Cork became where I'd met him, became a sort of a maze that I was finding it hard to escape from. And that's what the poem is about. I'm walking around expecting I might see him. Lost. I steal kind of two lines from the song Don Logue, the love song Don Logue, where the singer and the speaker in that song says, Vunish here, I guess Vunish here, Diem, you've taken east and west from me, and you've taken the sun and the moon from me. You know, it's kind of disorientation. And anyway, I suppose it's because O'Vale is in Cork, I thought I might read this poem for you. So, An Chathair Riamháin. Nuair a dilme treis tamil an Chathair Riamháin. Bhí mo chrí is an tair go traum le tnúháin. Mé a fehav fiach a viking tú harm a thráid. Mé a súil gigiing róm amach dult fiún a dul har bráid. Bhí the high she a gwaal stalagum is mair fondum fain koshli. Bhí Rome ag bor hrod Washington is hrod a chapel vui. Mé cailte gan trors na sraidna i gahar gríváin ar sirí. Hid agus hir bhí bunta diem on hilach chó ma leis an rian. Rétig tú riamh an chathair gríváin. An bhuaidis a fós in uascult an táin. Nuair chuise ma ghála féin in raims na rúthí. Bascoch da bhion, nuair celagoch da chrí. Sin éon cáil san gurm agam. I have one more Cork poem, and then I'm going to go back to Kerry and add to you, Darina, and finish with the poem that I wrote. Well, I didn't write it in Kerry, but I wrote it. I got the idea in Kerry, I suppose. Next poem I'm going to read is on Bille. I was commissioned to write a poem for a documentary that was done for Radio Na Gaeltachta about the Inta poets, who I'm sure you'd be familiar with, the group of poets who were all at UCC in the 70s, Nuala Ní Fóin, Lil Michael Davitt and Liam O'Muirle and many others. And they wrote they had a magazine, Inta. And anyway, there were Alva Ní Arabhig and Tristan Rosenstock were doing a radio programme, and Alva asked me to write a poem for it. It was a small bit intimidating having a deadline. I'd never kind of had a poem to write like that before, but soon enough I kind of got the idea. And it was from a story that Alva had told me about Nuala Ní Fóin, or Nuala Rú, who, as an undergraduate in UCC, that's where she came across or met her husband. And there's two massive giant sequoia trees outside the Boole Library in UCC. They're super trees. I love them. And apparently it was under one of those that happened, that she saw her husband. So that's kind of the start of the poem. It's about Nuala Ní Fóin seeing her husband there. But I wanted to use the trees in the poem as well for another reason, I suppose, because when the Inta poets were in UCC, you know, they didn't kind of come from a vacuum. There was a sort of a certain atmosphere there. And it's often said that the three Seans, Sean O'Riordan, the composer, Sean O'Tuama, the lecturer in modern Irish, and Sean O'Riordan then, who was poet in residence in UCC at the time and had an office on Connacht Avenue, I think, or O'Donovan's Road maybe, and that they had a major influence on them. And so this whole idea of a tree, and the word bille is a word in Irish, it means a large tree or a large sacred tree. And I suppose, you know, if you think of a trees in the forest, you know, like you have a big tree and you have the saplings underneath it that are kind of protected in a sense by the bigger tree, but then are waiting to grow up once the bigger tree falls over. And I thought of trees for another reason, because I suppose, you know, I was thinking about what was so special that the Inta group of poets came about. And I suppose when you have people on a campus going to the same college, you know, a certain amount of kind of cross-pollination happens of ideas and of the bit of magic, I suppose, that happens. So that's this poem basically on Bille, the larger the sacred tree, that I wrote for the and about the Inta poets. A couple of words in it. I had to look up the word for giant sequoia tree, and in the dictionary I didn't have that one. That's a mór huge chúdach, and buirkín is a cone that comes from a pine tree. Slattery is a slattery is a either a sapling or a tall youth. I'll read the poem for you. I'll get out of this. On Bille. Las mo the laurlan bool. Is he in a shaft of an sun fe noosh? Shachnaik nulru a farchele den hiaduid. Tour splaunk ershin. Tinife. Tooth. Queen Grown Mur Hush of Hudachson, a Viechna Hori a Crenu, Ori Glassa, Agas Ori Rua. Is Nabur Kini a Hittich on Grave Chun Talun, Vidi Shognuasach Glaid, O Malu. Gogudidi Shadashka Iad, Shias in Snachre. Is in Ihir on Chloshta, Nashilta the Fake. Gor Os in a Slattery, Fevun and Chreen Vuard. On Bille, on Fille, of Inche, though of Shud. On Hrienacha, O Huishdach, ye the Foss of Clerchlo. Gornacht or Hadilur, Urglas, no. Shulamid Fenavohin, on Sutton Sahil. Chluisiméad an nuanta ar fallúin sa rí. Is na becha a rin gatartha á gros fallanú. Búrcíní nó na milí an inúnt. Láadas na leihantamh is mé lasmud an búl. Hít búrcín ón grán ar me cheansa an nuas. Pírdas i d'eisce agus bí má chothú. In óchas lá éigint gníine sé láthú. My last poem is called Irian or Orion, and it's based kind of on the story on Budach, which was in a collection of stories collected from Peg Spitzer's called Scéalta on Na Scéad. The English scholar Kenneth Jackson collected a number of stories from her. It's a wonderful, wonderful collection of stories. And Peg obviously gets a lot of flack, as we know. And it's, you know, I think really in that book, you really see kind of her humor and her spirit and her skill as a storyteller. But this story anyway, which I'm sure Darina knows so well. And if I get it wrong, Darina, please correct me if I've any details wrong. But the story, as Peg tells it anyway, and as I remember it, is about a Taoiseach in Próiste na Mórach, north of Dingle. He was married and had a wife, but they didn't have any children. And one day his wife went down to the Cuas, or the cove, and went swimming. And when she was in the water, she saw a shadow of a man, or so she thought, and she started to rush out of the water, and she kind of got stung as she was going out and got up on the beach anyway and kind of collapsed and woke up a few hours later and went home. And 9 months later, had a child, and he was a fine, healthy child, very, very big, and they called him Unbudach. And he grew up into a fine man anyway, and he inherited the land from his father when he died. And he was very popular. He got married himself, and all was going well for him, really. But there was one thing that bothered him, and that was that he couldn't fall asleep. And he didn't know why, and he felt kind of different. And one day anyway, a scholar, the kind of a wandering scholar, called into his castle, and he asked for lodging for the night, and the Budach said he could have it, and Fáilte. And after dinner anyway, when he'd given the scholar a dinner, he sent all the servants out, and he said to the Sklárabacht, he said, "I have a question for you." And he explained his predicament, that he couldn't fall asleep, and would the scholar have any knowledge about it? So he consulted his books anyway and came back to the Budach a while later and said, "There's this, race of undersea people who live out at sea underwater, and they never fall asleep." And so he went to his mother anyway, the Budach, when he heard this information, and he said, "What's the story? What's the information?" And she told him what had happened that day. And he left the house then straight away, and he went down to the cove, down to the creek. And when he was going down, a man emerged from the water and put his arms out, and he swam out to him, and he was never seen again. And that place today is called Cuas a Bhodaig, or Brandon Creek in English. Where St. Brendan left for the New World, but in Cuas a Bhodaig in Irish, so it has that whole story attached to it. The name then, the link in the poem, is the name of the constellation, the Orion constellation in Irish. One of the names for it is Unbudach, because I think it's in the shape of a big man. And so I was down in Ballinar Teirig with UCC, and we were walking to the pub one night from UCC's house. And it was a beautiful starry night, and we saw Orion, and I read the story a few weeks later, so I kind of linked up the two of them. And the story, I suppose the poem then, is about feeling different, feeling a small bit different. And, you know, I suppose anyone who grows up LGBT, maybe, you know, you always feel a bit different, even though, you know, everything might be well in a sense, but you feel a bit different from everyone else. as did the Badach, because he couldn't fall asleep. So I'll read you the poem, and thank you very much for listening. I'm delighted to get the opportunity to read poems to you and to be able to join you virtually. So thanks so much for listening. I'm looking forward to hearing the poem, Jarena's reading, and all the rest of the night's activities. But I'll finish off with this poem, Arian, which starts off with a quote from Peg Sayers. Arian. Bhí an tíige agus an áit aige féin an son, ach má bhí ní raibh sé sásta. Bhí is aige gur a bhrad éigint buna sciún leis. Sé sin nar a bhéidir da titim dá chola. Vesas riamh grás dóranta, at difrúl a dúin. Cé gur íochas a margach néin, is go dítacharam mahuan. Mura a bunan is an badach, ná chud lóch is díthe nu is ló. Do da dág é ciapa a chráite. Gan só lás, gan suinus, gan só. Ní fhlár... Ní fhlár nú gur chuig ma bháhar lá a sná.
Gáf ma leis gil dara, chaila mar huan son a gór cúp leid sé fithe second.
Gan so las, gan suinus, gan so. Ní falar nu gur chuig ma vahar la a snav a mok in sa fuas. Gur prukach I is gur cuddl si is gur vus galun son as a suan. Is tuki gul la gur reits a snav a mach kun ma vale fo hín. Ach idr galing fiachim is dihe an spair. An madach is a chliaf. Sinéad, gwrdd mi'n ymwneud.